I want to call to order the Port of Siuslaw Commission meeting for Wednesday, April 16, 2025. For the record, we have present Commissioner Mike Buchwald, Commissioner Dale Edwards, Commissioner Bill Meyer.
And Craig is on speaker.
And Commissioner Craig Silizzi is on speaker. Okay, we got that on the record. Before I begin, though, I want to make sure is there anybody here that wants to take advantage of our public comment period? I don't see anybody there. All right. Since that's the case, then, Manager Dave, would you like to introduce somebody as the first part of this, and then we'll go through the other agenda items?
Before I introduce Jim, I wanted to go over some numbers on the situation up at Cushman on the revenue that we've been generating up there.
Before you do that, Dave, let me make sure that the commissioners understand that we're not going to have an action item relative to this discussion.
Not on this.
This is just input from the manager.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So right now at Cushman, we have 27 full-time tenants. We have 32 sites up there total, 28 which are full hookup. We have 4 that are not full hookup, and so we get $550 a month plus electricity on the 25 tenants that are in the full hookup sites, and then we have 2 tenants that are in the not full hookup sites that they're paying $300 a month. Next month, at the 1st of May, we will have our first actual campground tenant, which they will be on port rules, which is no more than 6 months, and they will be at our $854 rate for them. In February, our total revenue that we generated at Cushman was $15,648. March, it was $15,631, and that's including electricity in those numbers.
So that's a net, huh, David?
Yeah. We have 2 people that have not paid rent up to this point.
We have 3 now.
3 now. So, you know, our base that we've been going off with the amount of sites that are rented is $14,350. So out of that $15,648, the additional would be the electricity that we're charging up there. So it's approximately $1,300 a month that we're they're paying electricity also. So I just kind of wanted to give you a rundown on the type of revenue that we are generating up there right
David,
now.
David, remind me of how the electricity is being charged. Are these separate meters, or are we doing some kind of an allocation?
They're separate metered.
We're being billed that, and then we bill them, or do they get the bill?
We read the meters every month, and then we furnish the bill to them. We bill them ourselves, and they pay us. So.
Okay.
And so now I guess I'll turn it over to Jim.
I'd like to have Jim take a seat at the table here. That way, CZ can. Jim, why don't you have a seat right here?
And can you introduce the speaker?
I'm going to introduce. He needs no introduction, but this is Jim Hobart that's making a presentation to the Port Commission.
It's Jim Hobart with West Coast Real Estate, Craig.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
The floor is yours.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Jim Hobart with West Coast Real Estate. I'm here tonight to go over questions and stuff about the potential of managing the RV park of the Cushman project. I've had interactions with the port. over the years and talked to staff, and this could be a good fit for both both entities. And I'm here to answer any questions, go over, you know, what our services are, and you know what the end goals are for the port and us as a collaborated effort. So I'm here to help, hopefully join in your vision up there. It's a beautiful property that, you know, through the enhancement of your guys' ownership, should be a vital another piece of the Florence puzzle. So I'm here to answer any questions. A little background, I started in 1989 selling real estate, went out on my own in 2004 and started doing property management, you know, 2008-2009. So have a full-time staff of six assistants that help me do property management, and we're open 6 days a week. So we're there for everybody. We've got a really good following with the community, HOAs. So we're here to try to help enhance what you guys need and provide any, you know, guidance and encouragement that we can. So I'm here to answer any questions. I have shared with the port our generalized contracts and stuff like that, and I have reviewed some of the generalized contracts you have with the tenants up there, and that all seems to be, you know, fairly legit. As rules change, we would update them, and we kind of budget a one-year transition, so we get to familiar with you guys, you get familiar with us, and over the next year we implement the new rules that are coming down and any new ones that are governed by our attorney to make sure we're all in compliance. So I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay, I've got a question, but I'm going to open it up to other commissioners. Mikey, you want to jump in here on what some questions? I've got some, Jim, but in a bit.
Well, the first thing I want, you talked about your attorney. You have an attorney that you deal with specifically, Jim?
Yes, we have two attorneys.
I can't hear any of that. Oh. Jesus.
Mike asked if they had their own attorney that they deal with.
So I'll try to repeat the question, and maybe that'll help you. So we actually have two attorneys on what we call retainer that are only landlord tenants. They don't work on the other side at all. So we have them basically at our beck and call anytime we need them for guidance, and if we need actual representation, they're more than happy to do it. Normally, we can get by with just some general counsel, and we take over, but they are there if we have to go to full-blown court and need their assistance in that. But over the years, I haven't had to use them other than for guidance.
Okay, so my biggest fear when we started talking about this, or one of my top two or three fears, was how are we going to deal with the non-payers and the ones that we can't get rid of, that, you know, they just refuse to do this or refuse to do that, bring their attorneys in and start arguing and just drag it on for months and months and months. Is this something you're going to handle?
So he wants, so Mike asked, you know, the non-paying tenants and how that process would work if we're involved. So, yes, we're assuming that there are signed contracts with those tenants that have enforceable provisions. So that's just a question that we would start with. But if we have a signed contract with enforceable provisions, then, yes, we get counsel from our attorney. Then we develop a game plan, have a face-to-face, hopefully, with the tenant to say, hey, here's our options. What would you like us to do? If we can solve it, you know, easily, we will. If we have to go to court, we try to make sure we have everything lined up to win the case. And our attorney basically guides us through that. And if we have to do it, yes, we can. And those fees are ran by you and absorbed by the port if we have to go that far. And we give you, you know, general estimates as we progress and get guidance from you at the same time.
All right, so what you're saying, though, if we end up going to court, and that's what I'm saying, going to court,
yes.
We absorb that cost, or do we absorb the cost every time you consult with your attorney?
We absorb, he wants to know what costs the port absorbs. We don't have funds to pay any attorney fees, so anything like that is with your blessing and guidance. So all costs are absorbed by the port. We just manage it.
All right, so if you're not sure about something with one of the tenants and you need to call your attorney to get guidance or some kind of direction, then the port will pay that bill.
The port would authorize it first, and then we would do it. If it's a question that I think will help the whole company, then I absorb it. So it's a collaborated effort. So if it's a single-use item, then that's something we talk to the port about and say, hey, I think based on what's going on, this is what I'd like to do. You guys authorize it. We make the phone call, do the emails, get your blessing, and share the results of that consultation.
All right. So that just means that we'll pay for attorney fees if we authorize the
right.
use of an attorney.
Correct. We do not spend... You only pay for what you authorize. And
okay.
you would know that in advance.
Okay. CZ, do you have a follow-up question on this issue?
Well, I have a whole bunch of them.
Okay.
I don't have enough time.
Okay.
But
here's
what I would remind the commissioners.
Okay.
We are a member of SDAO. And SDAO, if you recall, they have attorneys on staff that are, I know that we have our own general counsel, but they also have attorneys on staff that would help us with the litigation process. In fact, they would move us through the entire process, and they would give us help and guidance along the way at no cost. And so I don't know if we're taking action tonight or what we're doing,
not.
But I just heard about this tonight, and so my wheels started spinning, and I think we should go out to special districts. I would like to do that on behalf of the poor and talk to special districts about, hey, what happens if the Port of Siuslaw enters into this agreement with a third party to help manage rentals, and then we have litigation or somebody doesn't follow the right process or procedures, and now we're getting sued because, Jim, I don't think you guys are prepared to provide us with some kind of certificate of insurance that names us as an additional insured. So if there's a suit, it goes to you first. You're not going to do that, are you?
We do have both errors and omission insurance and umbrella insurance for just that. Our agreement that we have, I don't believe, lists you specifically. It says that if we make erroneous decisions, they'll cover us.
Right. Do you happen to have a template of the agreements that you would ask the port to sign if we choose to engage you?
Yes.
Is there any way that I can get a copy of those, Kelly?
Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not trying to put a roadblock up. I'm just saying we're very unique in the fact that we are a public entity, and we are therefore eligible for some risk management consultation through a risk pool that provides insurance to the poor. And I think it would be wise if we go to them and say, hey, this is what we're thinking of doing. What's your experience there? That's all they do is insure public entities.
Yeah. So what's your... Mike, are you hearing any of this?
I agree 100% with Craig.
Yeah.
Because we already get free service. We pay for it as members. If we have to go above and beyond what SDIS does for us, then another attorney would kick in.
So
that may very well be Jim's attorney.
But one of our first task that we need to do is to meet with Special District, map out what we're planning on doing, and see if they have a see if they'll play a role in it. Because what Jim
just offered to visit with them and find out what's going on.
Okay,
I don't believe they do landlord tenant litigation.
Okay. I don't think there's something about that strikes true as well.
Yeah.
But they may also have some experience in that side of it and be able to enlighten us a little bit on maybe how to go through it. I wouldn't mind their pre-loss people to look at the agreements that Jim's going to provide Kelly Kelly's going to get to me, right?
Yep.
I think you're right, David, but I think, you know what, they're free. Let's talk to them about it and see what get some input from them as well.
Okay.
Are you going to do that, Craig?
Mike asked.
Yeah, I'll do that. I just need a copy of those, of the templates, the contracts, whatever it is that kind of spells out what our role and responsibility is and what Jim's role and responsibility is.
Okay.
But yes, Mike, I'll run it all the way up the flagpole.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to let Dale get... I've got a quick question. Tenant screening. Do you do tenant screening as part of your... Okay.
We belong to a national data... I don't know if you heard that. Bill asked if we do a tenant screening. We do a credit and a screening, which is a nationwide one that we belong to, that gives us a comprehensive credit background and financial score on each tenant. Plus, we do references, so we make phone calls on potential tenants. That's for anybody new. Anybody that's up there. Unfortunately, we just inherit, and we work our best.
Sure.
Right.
Okay. Commissioner Edwards, do you have a question on this point?
Well, I think it's pretty well explained. Under maintenance repairs, if tenants come to you as our property management and there's issues, you will then pass that back to us.
So the commissioner asked if a tenant comes to me with repairs, what's the process? So if it is an emergency, that's my job is to run up, stop the emergency. As I'm stopping the emergency, I'm assuming somebody is going to be my point as, hey, I've got an emergency. I'm headed up there. You know, want to meet me up there? If it's just an everyday thing, then absolutely. If our contracts say we would love to use whoever our owner's vendors are. So if it's your in-house vendors, that's fantastic. Can we just run it by you? We just ask for a point of contact.
We have maintenance up there every day, and we don't actually own any of the RVs that are there. So what we would normally work on would be water, sewer, or power. Shouldn't be...
Electrical, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. So that is all
personal property.
Right.
Their issue.
So that's their issue. So that streamlines it a lot. I do know that you know the septic up there has a huge, you know, push up the hill to get to that.
Yep.
So I could foresee that there could be some maintenance on that that might be classified as an emergency if we have black water going on ground.
Yeah.
But. You know, we have vendors, but as long as I have a point of contact, my job is to stop an emergency, contact you, and then develop a plan.
Okay.
And if your vendors can do it, that we're wonderful with that.
Okay. What's your fee, Jim? I didn't hear that.
The fee is we charge 10% of gross income collected.
Okay.
I like that.
So we pay that. Is that something that's paid monthly?
That is paid monthly. So most of the contracts that I read, the rents due somewhere between the 1st and the 7th. We pay owners around the 25th, 26th. So somewhere around the 25th, 26th, you tell us what to do with your money. We deposit it, run a check down, whatever you want. And we pay any authorized bills that you had out of that proceeds before, and then you get a recap of everything each month. And then at the end of the year, you get a full recap of income and expenses to take to anybody that needs it.
Okay. Commissioners, we're not taking action on this tonight, but we need to give feedback to the manager of whether he should continue to proceed. And this is ultimately, as I understand, this is going to come back to a contract that the commission should take action. It should be an action item that the commission will approve. So this is an information session tonight, but there will also be an extensive discussion the night we actually take action and approving the contract. But what I'm hearing tonight is, and CZ is going to take responsibility for it, after he sees the contract, we're going to see what role Special District might be able to play, especially in some of the legal issues. As Jim has outlined to us, when he comes up against where he needs to take legal action, he's going to apprise us of the situation, and then before he proceeds, we have to approve of him taking any legal action. So it would be beneficial to know if some of that can be kicked to Special District. CZ, did you hear that comment? And is there anything more that we need to ask David to research and Jim to research before they put together a final contract?
Now, I'm just curious about what kind of a contract. I don't care about the specifics, but are we talking about locking into a multi-year? Are we talking about month by month, or what? How do you normally do that, Jim?
So Commissioner Buchwald asked how long my contracts are for. Our initial contract is for a one-year period, cancelable with a 30-day notice from either side. And then after the first year, it just rolls over. It's not a yearly contract after that. It just rolls over.
But it's by either side. If all of a sudden you decide, I don't know any example. I can make something up, but it'd be stupid.
Right.
It's just if we just decide to go separate ways, we can
right
do so.
With a 30-day notice. So our contract is terminatable with a 30-day notice from either side.
That's fine. Okay, thank you, Jim.
Yep.
Question. So how did all this come to pass? Where did we get here? I hadn't even heard about using a third party to do property management up there. I mean, how did all this come about?
The board president, Terry Duman, it was brought to my attention through Terry, and we discussed it at length. There's some issues that we are having with tenants up there at this time, and we're actually in the middle of some litigation with two of them. We talked about a lot of the pressure that it's putting on the staff. It's not that we can't do it, Craig. It's a lot that we don't know, and it's put a lot of pressure on the staff where we think, you know, we're going to have to hire another person to help us in the office, and I think this is going to be the easiest way to go for us, as we're renting those places by the month to permanent tenants.
It sounds like to me, Dave, that no matter what, whether we operated it ourselves or Jim Hopper operates it, runs it for us, manages it for us, the legal fees will always be the same.
Yes.
Okay. The thing that will be different is a full-time employee to take care of it.
That's correct.
And no offense, and I don't want you changing your rate, Jim, but I think that will be more expensive for sure than paying what we would pay that management company. by the time we get done with the benefits and, you know, salary and that type of thing. And we're getting full disclosure.
Right.
We're getting all the reports once a month and an annual report. I think that would be fine for Kelly. Kelly can move that into QuickBooks, and with the information from Jim, it sounds like a pretty good idea, really.
And I can, the other thing, the landlord-tenant is a very unique animal, and it is not for the faint of heart. So the rules are changing. We're still stuck with some of the COVID rules, which the government doesn't even acknowledge that they're going to ever remove. So it is frustrating for people, because there's certain guidelines that are put out by the government that we can't alter, and tenants know it, and all their websites and everything that the tenants know about know all the tricks.
Yeah, I think I personally feel that having someone like Jim, who has already done it, we have not done this, but to have his expertise, and frankly, I think the fee is very, very reasonable in relationship to having to hire and go through all of the other stuff. I feel comfortable going through a management program, period. I just think it's wisdom.
And a lot of things that people like is we give that separation element. I'm the bad guy. So if there's any problem, it's always the property manager that is the boss.
It's not the port of suit.
It's not the port. So it allows you guys a nice separation between you and tenants. And that's probably.
I hope we don't have to use your name a lot, but we will.
I'm used to it. So, but we're set up, and we've got a great staff at my office. They really enjoy what they're doing. And, you know, I'm third generation in Florence. This is a great project for both of us.
The other question that I had, Jim, about the contract that we have in place right now that we took over when we purchased the property,
right?
Will that still be in place for a certain amount of time, for the first year?
For the first year. Commissioner asked how long the current contracts last. So, unfortunately, we have to inherit them, and then there's proper notices. So I tell the tenants, hey, we are the new property manager. We are going to honor your current agreements for 12 months, and between now and that 12 months, we will be working on new agreements with all the tenants. So it gives them plenty of time.
So does that include the rental amount that we're charging?
Uh-huh. Everything could change in that 12 months.
Okay, so in the process, next year, we could raise rents,
yes, do all of that. Okay. So that is part of our process, is to guide you, saying, hey, we've got our feet wet, we've monitored the market, you're getting, what'd you say, $550 a month?
Yeah.
We did our analysis, you should be at $7.
Okay.
The law allows us to raise to $650, but you should be at $7. So there's some things we can do to help increase your guys' revenue.
Or other, as tenants leave, the additional people that we put in there, they're on our $850 rate that we would normally charge.
So as long as the process is done where we don't kick them out, because there's a rule that says if we kick them out, we're supposed to keep the same rent.
Okay.
So if we force somebody out, the rules say we have to re-rent it at the same price. So there's ways around it by getting the tenant to give us notice. Once they give us notice, then we're free to do whatever the market rate is. So there's some workarounds for almost everything.
So that year.
What happens to the RV? I'm getting just a little bit confused, and because what we're talking about is monthly rentals. I thought that we are going to move forward to, as people leave, we're not going to put them back on a month. I thought we were going to put that into our RV park.
Yeah.
Is that something that we're going to have Jim manage? your reservation. If there's four sites there that we rent on a regular basis, they go through our reservations. That, I mean, how's that going to work?
Well, that, I don't think that would go through Jim at that point.
Okay. I just want to bring that up.
Yeah, I that's a good point. I didn't think, but anybody else that we would place up there, like you say,
on a monthly basis, yeah. If we do long-term rentals.
Yeah, it would be up to 6 months like we do here. We rent up to 6 months is the maximum that we allow.
Mm-hmm. So long-term rentals get kicked. That's under Jim's bailiwick.
Yeah.
The regular campground, that would... Well, you guys are going to have to work out the language. You're going to put some language together.
Okay.
And, Jim, you hear what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about two different worlds. We need to make sure whatever language in there, it's fair to you, whatever responsibility you assume in that part of the world. But we know the long term is going to fall in your management.
And the questions are, you know, I have to be cautious because I'm inheriting agreements that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
So I would love for them to be all month to month and the people being there less than a year. I'd have to double check, but in everything else, if they're over a year, all the rules change again. So once again, I have to be cautious how I answer because it depends. It depends on what the agreement says and it depends on how long they've been there. And so my goalpost changes. I mean, if they had a 1 year lease, I mean, I don't know what all 28, 25 agreements say.
Most of them have been there over a year. There are just a couple that have been there under a year, and so I know it's like 60 days when they've been there
right.
over a year.
Right, over a year, the rules are dramatically worse for the owner.
Well, that's the advantage. We're not taking action tonight. Right now we're discussing, and what is being brought up are some of the issues that, David, you're going to have to wrestle through, and CZ's going to get back to you, but do we have from the commissioners, and I hear him from Mike, and I'm hearing from Dale, and I essentially second what Dale said. We need to move forward on this, but this is just our first cut, and what we need to do is to make sure the commissioners have a copy of the as you guys work towards finalizing the final contract. We need to make sure that the commissioners have a copy of it, and we'll probably have a fairly long discussion again, and there may even be we may have to take a second pass as we work through the details, but we brought up some details tonight that Jim's going to have to look at.
Is there any way that we could have another meeting, a special meeting before the first of the month?
A workshop. Yeah, I'm always available, but I'm a different animal in that regard.
I'm pretty much available for that too, but I wouldn't want a workshop until sometime we have a bunch of questions answered,
and
we're ready to
actually. Yeah, till we formulate something in pretty tight form, and we're ready to pick it apart. Is that Mike? That's what you're talking about.
So
yeah, I don't think this is rocket science, but we just need to have some of our questions answered, and Jim's got to look at some things and contracts and that type of thing, Craig has to do his part of it. You know, he said he was going to talk to SDAO or SDIS, but once we get to that point, then yeah, I think we should sit down and let's hammer it out and as many of us face to face and get it done.
When I listen to this discussion, I think there are about four different things that I think we need to proceed with to get to that task force. One, it'd be great to have that legal dynamic understood.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the rental long-term, short-term, understanding what those two animals look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then the fourth thing is, what is it that we're wanting this to look like in 2, 3, 4 years, mm-hmm. as far as terms of rent, short term, are we wanting to continue with long term residents, or are we wanting to negotiate our way through? Those are questions that I think we have to ask.
Are our long-term goal was to phase out the long-term tenants and pick up the rules that we utilize here
But David, I want to jump in there. And Mike, I would need to see that put on a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the difference between the long-term, on the long-term, if you get quality tenants, you're going to get that monthly income every month.
Yeah.
But if it's a camper that's coming in, there's a certain occupancy rate that we have pretty good experience
at. We work off about a 50% occupancy rate.
Okay. So what's the best return on our money in terms of, I mean, in other words, I think we need to have a discussion just on that point. Are we gonna keep it a half and half, or 40% campers, 40% long term, or? Because we know that there are people in this community that need a permanent place to reside. A lot of workforce people need a, driving in from Eugene now to work here. They, if they had the opportunity to get a permanent site at a reasonable rate, you might be able to fill that whole place with long-term rentals.
Yeah.
But we need to look, well, what's the difference based on our occupancy estimate? I think we need to discuss it.
It is basically filled.
I don't think it's time to discuss it yet.
Okay.
I think we just need to move on and try to figure out whether or not this management system is going to work for us.
Okay.
And then we've got to give it a little bit of time as far as I'm concerned. I won't be ready to make a decision on that for quite a while until we get some historical data.
Yeah.
Okay, till the data starts coming in, Mike, that's what you're, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think we're going to need a little bit of data to make that kind of decision, and that's going to be up to Kelly and up to Jim to provide us with his part of the information and up to us. You know, if this turns out to where, you know, I'm skeptical, and I have been from the beginning, you all know that, but the fact of the matter is, if this is to turn out to be not a money maker, but a good investment for long term, I'm not sure I'm against it. But I've always told you that I never thought the port was their goal or their mission statement had anything to do with long term rentals, being a landlord. It's always been an RV. But I'm willing to sit back and wait and see what these numbers look like. But in the meantime, we need somebody to manage. Because I think, like I said, Jim, with all due respect to you, I think that it'll be less costly monetarily for the Port of Siuslaw to hire somebody to manage it for us and be less strain on our staff. So I just think we ought to just take a step at a time and let's move forward with, you know, coming back at another meeting and let's make the decision about a management company.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Is that the consensus around the table? CZ, did you hear Mike's comments? It essentially said it's time to kind of put a contract together and take a look at it and then come back at another meeting and see what we can agree on.
I agree with Mike.
Okay. So have we beat this one up enough, guys? Are any last comments before... Jim, I think we've covered the waterfront, as we say, down at the port.
Okay. I will continue working with Dave and stuff to get whatever information the port needs and get that provided to you. And I'm going to reach out to my legal also just to make sure that...
I think that's a big piece of it.
Because, you know, that's all they do. Right. And...
roughly, cost-wise, just a ballpark on an eviction to go through the whole process to an attorney.
Luckily, we don't do it often, and I don't think I've spent over $700.
Okay.
Did you hear that, Mike?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I might be willing to spend $2,000 or $3,000 to get rid of one or two of them.
You would have to authorize that, sir.
That's saying something.
All All right. Well, on this part
thanks,
of the
Jim.
Agenda.
You bet. Thank you. It'll be nice meeting you.
Thank Jim for.
Yes, I look forward to it. And Kelly, can you send me Jim's contact information? Just maybe a picture of a business card or something?
Yes, I'll send it to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
I'll scan it.
Okay.
All right.
Tonight, Jim.
Okay. You bet. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Then we're going to continue on with the agenda. Everybody has the agenda in front of them. Any modifications to the agenda? Hearing none, it's approved by unanimous consent. How about the approval of the minutes? Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes that were presented? Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
That was 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Okay. The minutes are approved by unanimous consent. All right, Kelly, financials. I'm going to kick that over to you.
Checks printed for February were $97,459.79.
Let me get my tab open here. Okay, go ahead.
Occupancy for the campground in March was at 53%. It's up 1% from last year. And mortgage was at 48%, which was up 3% from last year.
Excellent. All right. Any questions on the, you got the figures in front of him. Mike, any questions on any of those figures?
No, I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
Okay. CZ, you don't see him, but Mike liked him, so then I like him.
Mike likes him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if Mikey likes him, we like him.
Yes. All right, guys.
Okay. All right. Anything in addition? Any last? No. All right. Thank you very much. Then let's look. Okay. The last part of this, managers and commission report. I'm not going to cut the manager shirts. I've just got some final comments, so I'm going to kick it over to Dave.
What do you have to say?
I just say how proud I am of the staff and how they handle the installation of our fish and saved us some money because we got an initial quote from Public Works, and the staff did an excellent job, and they were so happy to get that thing up. I was so happy to see it. Boy, does it look good in the late afternoon when the red wavelengths are coming over the hill and it hits that fish. It is just amazing. So,
is there another fish there? Did they replace it with one? Just like it.
Well, no, it's not. It has more red in it. But yeah, they
I think it's actually bigger.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, they pull a fastest on us there, Mike. But
I like this one.
Yeah, I like this one too.
Somebody told me it was up, and I said, "Well, lovely." I just drove by it.
It's up. But now the community knows.
My wife drove me down to show me and prove it to me.
All right, well, I have nothing more to add. Then I am going to adjourn the meeting at...
One moment, I'd like to ask...
Oh, sorry, Mike. I was going to give it over to all the commission. Go ahead, Mike.
So let's talk. I just want to know about the bulkhead down there.
Yeah.
Has there been any funding issues?
Well, I haven't heard anything on it. That's the problem. We've been getting... Our pre.
Where's the money coming from? Remind me.
FEMA.
The state or the Fed? FEMA. Yeah, there's going to be funding issues.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
So on that,
I think everybody, that should be in everybody's mind.
Absolutely.
Funding issues. Because it doesn't seem like anything, it seems like everything's getting shut down as far as grants. Okay, I just wanted to say that out loud.
No, and I think you're right. You're spot on, Mike. I share your safe concerns.
I have a question on that. Are we working specifically through FEMA? Because I know Oregon was involved with this.
The process is that we can't get in touch with FEMA, so we go through OEM, Oregon Emergency Management. They're the go-betweens that do the work with FEMA on our behalf, and we've had a couple different kickoff meetings. We've been improved the pre-planning. We are starting to get money for the pre-planning, but as far as the big funds for actual construction? No.
So, David, would you mind, I mean, it's not a huge thing, but I'd kind of like you to have a conversation with the guy, with our engineer,
yeah,
and see if he has any knowledge of that. You know, you all saw that Mapleton was, they were on the board to get a couple million dollars grant for their water system. And there was no question about it. They just shut them down.
I just heard about that this last week.
Not that it's going to do anything to us other than we're not going to get it done, but I'd just kind of like to know if there's any input from somebody who's supposed to know what's going on.
Okay.
You're looking for scuttlebutt. Because there's bound to be talk.
Yeah, well, but there's not talk in my circle other than people that I, you know.
Yeah, but the engineer circle, there might be a hit talk.
The engineer circle, there should be a little bit more authoritative understanding of what's going on.
So,
and it would be nice to hear from him.
Okay, I will find out.
So is in this grant, I mean, from the time this thing began to now,
mm-hmm,
costs have gone up. So is there an override factor to that?
Yes, there is, and we and OEM and everybody is under the impression that it has changed since 2020 when, you know, our estimate was it's going to be more expensive than the $1.9 million.
Double that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I think they factor that in over the long term. There's allowed to be some cost adjustments to it.
I don't have any more questions, guys.
Good question, Mike.
But no, it's something that I've often thought about. But I just feel like we're going to get it. I feel like that we are.
Commissioner
we've
Edwards,
done so much he, to oh, work towards.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Dave. Go ahead.
I think we're going to get it this year.
I hope so. Commissioner Dale, you got any questions, any comments?
No, other than I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing with the port, David. And I had to meet with the realtors last week sometime just to kind of give them an update on what we're doing with the port. It was interesting. I asked for questions. There were only a couple. One was, you know, what are our plans long term? And I said, you know, right now, long term, as far as Cushman, we just got it. We're trying to assess it and to really put together a long term for that.
Yeah.
But explained how that came into our hands, and it was well received. So.
I think we'll have the docks in shape at least to rent some boat sites for salmon season this year.
Okay, excellent.
Oh, really? That sounds good.
Yeah, I don't know the boat launch. I don't think we can do anything with the boat launch at this point. They'll have to launch down here. But we've been getting the docks in shape, so that's what we're hoping.
Is there any chance there would be some state help in putting a boat ramp launch in? Haven't they been wanting to put a ramp in?
I just talked to Business Oregon today, and they told me that I should get a hold of Oregon State Marine Board. There may be some funds available there. So.
Yeah, that'd be a good place to start.
Yeah. I mean, we could go down at a really low tide and put a couple loads of gravel at the end of it there, but you know, I don't know that we can do that in the water right now.
Probably need to wait till November.
That sounds like in the water work
but
to me, David.
That's kind of all it needs. It's just dropped off so much that you can't back down there, and your trailer drops in the.
If you get to do it
off of the edge.
No, I think we need to do it. I think we need to see if get it funded so it can be done. Great. Didn't the state help with our ramp few years back?
No.
Okay. All right. That was all wrong.
Wait, we never got money for that ramp down, our ramp at the port?
No.
I thought
we didn't pay for that, did we? I thought there was some rules that we couldn't do anything without.
Because they paid for it. That's what I kept hearing too, Mike.
They helped fund it.
That was.
You might want to look into that.
That was that was the parking lot.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'll check into that.
You know more than I do, but I'm about that. But I think we had a conversation about that ramp down there.
Yeah, that was the impression I had. That's why I brought it up. But I
I know the transient dock. I'm not sure now.
That's before my time. Yeah. That's been here long before I was even here.
It's something to look into, Dave.
Okay.
There might be an opportunity there to go through the State Marine Board.
Yep.
It would be great to have that.
Oh, I know.
Done.
I know. I really think we're going to be able to rent boat slips up there.
Especially during the King's Chinook season.
Yeah, because we've gotten rid of a couple of the old boats that were actually in the water up there. I think there's only one sailboat left and a other pile of crud that's down at the end. But we've fixed some of the electrical on the dock. At least we'll have a few pedestals that they'll have some kind of power down there. We've done some dock repair. We should be able to rent them by season.
Do we have security down there? Cameras?
Hayek has started doing their drilling, and what they say, the 18th, we should have
the
cameras.
18th, they're starting to put the camera system up.
Okay.
So yeah, we've gotten rid of 34 boats and trailers from up there.
Oh my goodness gracious!
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's the RVs.
We still have three RVs that we have to dispose of. They're up top.
Yeah.
We've removed all the asbestos out of them, so
good luck getting them down.
They're ready to go to the dump. But yeah, I can't think of anything else.
CZ, any last parting shots for the order? Okay, Mike, we're getting ready to close it down. Any parting shots?
All right, we'll send you that contract.
Everybody have a good week.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, this meeting is adjourned.
Yep.
See if this old guy can stand up. Oh, I just barely did, Dale. I did.
I sure get that bulkhead money this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're looking at every dollar that's being spent, David.
Yeah, but it seems like...